Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. I'm going to make an admission here. There was a period in my life when I just didn't make the time to go to the doctor. It was a short period, probably just about 10 years worth. Fortunately for my health, doctor's visits are a more routine part of my life, but men, by and large, are not as vigilant about getting their health concerns checked as women. Earlier this year, we reported on the launch of a Milwaukee-based web portal aimed at African-American men's health called Brain, Brawn, and Body. The local effort continues during June, which is designated as Men's Health Month. It's an issue getting attention from Milwaukee's Health Commissioner, Bevin Baker, along with 7th District Alderman Willie Wade. They join us now, along with Brain, Brawn, and Body co-founder Eric Vaughn. Nice to see all of you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you very much.
Let me ask you this, Bevin Baker, and then I'll be curious to hear the other two of you weigh in on this question. What do you see as the primary issue getting in the way of men taking a more active approach to their health? What's keeping us having this conversation today?
I believe that, unfortunately, we've been conditioned as boys to tough it out, and it's been seen as historically as a sign of weakness to say something hurts or to seek care. So in being strong and being committed to being strong, we've taught young boys and adolescents to not seek care. So this is something we have to overcome. It's not a sign of weakness to seek help for mental, physical, or emotional care.
Eric Vaughn and Willie Wade, neither of you are employed in the public health field per se, but does this square with your experience?
I think so. I mean, I think it is the genesis for what we created with Brain, Brawn, and Body, understanding that men have been reluctant to engage fully in their own care and needing to have the help of family members, particularly the women in their lives, to help them do that. You understand very quickly that there is this desire, I think, on the part of men, but there are all of these things that get in the way. And much of what we kind of assign to men is stereotypical. I mean, as I've gone deeper into this and talked to more and more men, men do go to the doctor. We don't like to go, but I don't know that women like to go to the doctor. I think it is something that we all have to kind of reckon with at a certain age. But as Commissioner Baker pointed out, we're conditioned from early on not to let it be known that we're ill, that we hurt. Women, on the other hand, they start going to the doctor at a very early age, and it continues right through adulthood. So we're trying to get the trends shifted toward men so that we begin to do the same things that women do regarding health.
And I'd like to just add to that, that part of it is denial, you know, and that's from the way we've been taught as boys. And the maintenance on health is something that we want to deny. You know, we really think that with a little rest and a rub something on it, that our body is just capable of healing itself. And in most cases, that is true. But sometimes you get indicators that let you know that it's something a little more serious and we're in denial of it. The other part of it is just the stubbornness of men. I wouldn't admit this in front of my wife, but, you know, sometimes guys, you know, we don't want to admit we lost.
Will, you just admitted
she's
it in
not
front of
listening.
Your wife.
And then the other part is some of it is part financial. Medical and health care is very expensive. And if you're not part of a workforce or organization that has some type of benefits that's affordable, a lot of times, even if you want to go, and that's not always the case because some people have great health benefits and still are stubborn. But sometimes it's financial and sometimes people avoid it because they really can't afford to go.
Bevin Baker, is that part of the conversation we don't always have when it comes to men's health, especially in a place like Milwaukee where there is not an enormous affluent community?
Certainly, there are many indicators of poverty and economic imbalance. And I think that joblessness and the ability of men to enter and maintain in the workforce affects us all. Those determinants affect our health. And I think it's something that we have to be aware of. We have to understand that your mental and your physical and your emotional and your spiritual health are impacted by whether or not you can participate in society and be gainfully employed. It affects us all. Job loss is up there with loss of an individual in your family, spouse, and those types of things emotionally, that original thing. So it affects our health. So we need to make certain that we deal with the economic health of our community, and that will affect men's health as well.
Two of the three of you have positions related to government. How much can government do to help or even make men change their attitudes towards their own health?
Well, I think the first thing is that we can champion the notion of healthcare access. And it doesn't matter whether you are left or right or center and what your political stance is. The Affordable Care Act is doing just that. It's opening doors for those typically who haven't had coverage, and it may accrue access to them. So we've got to advocate that you can get in for preventive and primary care, and then we need to make certain that we outreach to men. And that's what we're here about today, telling them you need to do it and then showing them mechanisms to actually follow through.
Do you think saying Alderman Willie Wade says you should get your blood sugar checked carries a lot of weight? How do you see yourself in this equation of helping get that message across?
I'm hoping that's the case. I mean, you know, you don't want to read your own press clippings or get the big head, but I do in some ways have a profile. In the city of Milwaukee, the elected officials, especially the African-American ones, they have a higher profile than some other people. I mean, that may not be the case in Chicago or New York, but in Milwaukee, definitely it is. So I'm trying to use my profile as an elected official to get involved in men's health issues. That's why we did the press conference about Men's Health Month. I got an event that's coming up dealing with Men's Health Month that's dealing with men's health, and I'm getting involved personally. And I also want to try to be healthy myself. I try to work out, try to keep my weight at a certain level, keep myself looking healthy. So when people see me, they say, well, you know what? You know, he looks like he's taking care of himself. So it's some role model stuff that you want in there, too. So I'm trying to do what I can.
Well, you know, Mitch, and I'm not that government type, but I want to tip my hat to Alderman Wade, Commissioner Baker, and Mayor Barrett, because as Alderman Wade said, last week we held a press conference acknowledging Men's Health Month. And I think when you ask what can government do, the fact that these figures who represent city government saw it important, saw it significant for the city to say, this is the day, this is the week, this is the month that men should become aware of the health concerns that we all share that impact this entire community, it speaks volumes. I'll tell you a quick story. I was on my way here just now, and I'm crossing Water Street, and I ran into a young man. He's 36 years old, and I think simply because we've created this website and for whatever reason, that is how people associate with me now, he stops me. He says, Eric, I just went to the doctor, and my blood pressure is 120 over 80. The doctor told me not to worry. And I said, well, that's not anything to worry about. That sounds like a pretty – and I'm not a doctor, but that sounds like a pretty good number to me. You know, there may be a few things you can do. But the point is that the website has raised his awareness and has made him conscious of the fact that he does have a blood pressure and that there are numbers that are relevant to him or should be, and he's trying to achieve those numbers. So I think you couple the website with the efforts of the city to, again, acknowledge Men's Health Month, Men's Health Week. I think that if we can carry this on month after month after month in terms of the awareness and alerts that we're putting out, I think we will impact and improve the health of men in this community.
Bevin Baker, where do you think the conversation ought to start for men? What are the kinds of health issues that ought to be on people's radar screens first?
Well, I think it's just like what Eric said. We need to treat this as we do in sports. You really need to know your scores. There are certain things that you need to be educated about. You know, with NBA finals are going on, everyone knows every stat. But there's some stats you need to know. You need to know about blood pressure. You need to know about your blood sugar. You need to know about your cholesterol levels. Know your scores. Let's just get the five things that men should know. And then the most important thing is to talk to other men about making certain that they know these things. Get your prostate exam. Get your colonoscopy if you're at risk or you're old enough to do that. Know your scores. I think we start where men are. We need to go to barbershops. We need to go to gyms. We need to go to churches. Find out where they are. And let's keep this simple. Let's not over-exaggerate what's at play here. We're men. We do things differently than women. Let's start and know your scores.
All four of us are men.
Real men.
Is there a cultural aspect to this also? Is there a way of getting at African-American men in one way and maybe Latino men in another way and white men in another way? I mean, are there certain aspects to this that are sociocultural, if you will?
You know what? I think I'll take that because I think it is. I think it's a learned behavior and it's something that's modeled and it's something that parents should do. For instance, I have an 11-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter, and we don't have soda in the house. We drink a lot of water. We have a workout room in our house. I'm constantly on their case about what they eat, when they eat it, about sweets, about chips. And then, once again, I have to model it. My wife and myself, we make sure we don't have any unnecessary things. We have a lot of produce in the house. Those type of things we do all the time to try to make health just be a part of your life as you go on So then once you get older, you can have that tradition going with your children. So my wife and I do that right now. She works out, I work out, and our kids work out with us because we want that to be part of just what you do, school, work, health, looking out for seniors, trying to help a person when you can, being spiritually based. We want that to be part of the way we live, and I'm trying to incorporate that into my kids because definitely I don't know if my dad ever went to a dentist or a doctor. I didn't see it.
Yeah. And Mitch, the other thing we got to do is there has to be a two parts of this covenant. Men need to do those things in terms of staying healthy, looking at preventive health. But our providers and those who are servicing them need to deal with them when they get there in a culturally sensitive, culturally competent way. And that's part of the problem. The Institute of Medicine says that even in, when there's equal access for blacks, whites, Hispanics, you know, African-American men still have a disparity in how they are treated when they get there. So we could do all the right things, go to the doctor. And if the doctor or those clinicians who are seeing you don't understand and don't try to meet you where you are culturally, then you're going to have a negative outcome. So you have to manage that. So we have to educate the whole community, not just men to go get healthy, but doctors, nurses, clinicians, and anyone who's going to intercept African-American, Hispanic, Asian, or Caucasian men to be culturally sensitive to them, to listen to that man who's probably for the first time trying to manage his own care.
You know, I think part of what we have to do is, again, in this whole awareness raising campaign, is keep people abreast, keep men abreast of those things that are available to them. To that end, let me just suggest that people go to brainbrawnbody.com. Go to the Healthy Happenings page where you'll find the event that Alderman Wade mentioned.
Yeah, mine is June 21st, yeah. Friday, this Friday.
And you talk about what government can do. The health centers this weekend or on the weekend of the 22nd are going to be doing some programming. The Isaac Coggs Center is going to be doing a huge health fair.
And we'll be at Juneteenth,
yes.
As well.
So a lot of activities going on around health this month. And as I said, it's important that we keep these things going, not just one month out of the year, but every month, and keep it top of mind for those men in this community who really need to have the information.
Eric Vaughn, Bevin Baker, Willie Wade, thank you all so much, and best of luck.
All right, thank you.
Bevin Baker is health commissioner for the city of Milwaukee. Willie Wade is alderman from Milwaukee's 7th District. And Eric Vaughn is co-founder of the website Brain, Brawn, and Body. There is a link to more information on events today and tomorrow about men's health from WUWM.com/lake effect. A break now, and when we return, pianist Shaheen Wong talks with us ahead of a concert Sunday with Milwaukee's Fine Arts Quartet. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.